Hi, this is Tony Alamo, World Pastor. This is program number 488. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will show you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free, including the postage and handling. I have some Bible reading. I'll be expounding on the reading of the Word. I've got music and letters, and whatever else the Lord wants to pour out or anoint on this program. Right now, let's go to the throne that I may ask you, Lord, to anoint me. Let everything that you want said be said through me, that the souls, that people out in the world will be saved, and the church strengthened. Lord, we pray that the way that the people, people that are in government are attacking the church and churches everywhere, we pray, Lord, that you'll rebuke Satan in them, that they'll be saved before it's everlastingly too late. We hear of all these typhoons and cyclones. The cyclone overseas just killed over 18,000 that we know of, and then there's another 17,000 that are in hospitals, and they haven't gone through all the wreckage. This is from you, and all throughout your word you say that you will pour out wrath, your wrath, on people for denying your word, your son. And Lord, we pray that people will begin seeing the light immediately, that they, but we know that your word says that the seven first plagues and then another seven right after that will be coming on this earth. And the people that have rejected you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. First hell and then death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. There'll be weeping, wailing, and grinding their teeth and gnawing on their tongues for pain. People think that they've got it bad here, but Lord, if they have it bad, it is because they are bad. They go to church, a lot of people, but that doesn't mean a thing if they're not born again of the Spirit and unless they are allowing you to do your work in and through them. And I pray that they'll get that today, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, we have Fake Springman. You know, the Bible tells us that we're going to go through the fire. And one way or the other, I've been through a lot of fire. My wife, late wife Susie's been lots and lots of fire. And if you're going into the kingdom of heaven, you're going through fire as well. And even if you're not, you're going to go through fire. God will put you through it. Well, here's Fake Springman to sing for you, Shadrach. And, of course, his two buddies, Meshach and Abednego.
Meshach, Abednego, and they took a trip to the land of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he took a lot of gold and he made an idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And he told everybody, when you hear the music of the cornet and the flute and the harp, you must fall down and worship the idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the children of Israel would not bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego wouldn't fool them with a golden idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I said you couldn't fool them with a golden idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. bells and a red hot brimstone. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, 7 times hotter than it oughta be. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, word of the soldiers what the king had put down. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the Lord sent an angel with snowy white wings down in the middle of the furnace, talking to the children about the power of the gospel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, it couldn't even burn the hair on the head of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Laughing and a-talking while the fire was a-jumping round. Ha, ha, ho! Meshach, Abednego. Now, O Nebuchadnezzar called Hador when he saw the power of the Lord. And they had a big time in the house of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Praise the Lord. You know, we're put to that sort of thing here on this side of eternity. We get, disown the Lord Jesus Christ or be killed or go to prison or stop your witnessing and testifying, or we're going to chase you some way. Don't be preaching from the Bible the things that the Lord says are evil, because the politicians are paid a lot of money to come in, they lobby in Washington, D.C. This is the Roman Catholic cult government. It has no semblance whatsoever to the U.S. government the way it was when I was a child. It's totally sinful. Now, they condone murder, but the lobbyists, the homosexuals have the biggest lobbying group in Washington, D.C., and they pay the politicians off, and if they don't do what they say, they have enough homosexuals in the world today to where they don't vote them in. And greedy men that are in the international government, Roman Catholic international government, they'll do anything for money. They'll even say it's all right to murder children. Now, just listen to this logic, and I'm not condoning drugs or anything like that, but they say that a woman has a right to do with her body what she wants and the body of her child, that she can murder him. Now they're going to put a guy up, a sports figure, for 30 years for taking steroids. Well, isn't that his body? Shouldn't he be able to do with it what he wants? What kind of hypocrisy is this? I'm not for steroids. If you eat steak today and beef, you're going to get a large dose, of steroids anyway. What are you going to do, send all the steak and beef eaters to prison because they've got steroids in them? By proxy, there isn't any wisdom in this world whatsoever. The Bible tells us that the everlasting power, the powers that be, are ordained of God. Do you think that that's the power that's ordained of God that tells you that you can do with your children whatever you want? Why is it they're sending people to prison and to the death chamber for killing their children? People are so confused by the leadership out in the world. But the powers that be are the ministers of the gospel. They certainly are not the president of the United States or the Pope. They're not ministers of the gospel. The powers that are be are ordained of God. For those of us that preach His Word or are ordained of the Lord, that's Romans 13:1. Read it, please. Romans 13:1. Okay, so we, the ministers, the pastors, the teachers, the preachers, are ordained we're the rulers. The Bible states that we're the rulers, and we are the powers that be ordained of God. Read it.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers.
In other words, let everybody be subject unto God's guides here on earth. You can see that the guides that are just phonies, they take money and change the laws that are to be the exact opposite of God's laws. And so they're not ordained of God, and therefore they have no power of God whatsoever. And then go ahead.
For there is no power but of God.
Right. So God didn't ordain these people that are in office in the international Roman Catholic Antichrist government. You people voted them in. You're the ones that voted in. They're ordained by man, but not God. Okay, so you wicked people have the Word of God. You know, there's probably a Bible in every house. You have the Word of God. But the person that is holy, as Romans, the 8th chapter states, they have the mind of Christ, and they have this new Spirit of God in them, with the Lord himself, the fullness of the Godhead, bodily living in them. So we have the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ doesn't tell you that you can abort or murder your children. As a matter of fact, God sent the Hebrew children into Canaan land over in Africa there to kill the Canaanites because they were sacrificing their children. They were murdering them just like you folks are out there in Radio Land. So what do you think God's going to do to you? He's going to send somebody in here to murder you. You're going to reap what you sow. Amen?
Amen.
So that's 1 Corinthians 2:16, where it says that we have the mind of Christ. Now, the mind of Christ says homosexuals, that's a no-no. How anyone could stomach such a thing is they're so lewd. For man to be with man, that's the most disgusting, or woman to be with women. That's the most disgusting thing in the world, and for a woman, and as I see in the news media, and as the Bible says, that most of them are corrupt women, and they should not be given the license to murder, all right?
Amen.
And the people, these that call themselves the power, they give the children the license to commit fornication in school. And then they tell them that you don't have to tell your mother. You can go to commit first-degree murder to have an abortion. Okay, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are not to be conformed to this type of present world, the way that these weasels out in the world think. We're not to be conformed to this present world because they're crazy. The Bible says that the people in this world and the leaders of this world would be insane in the last days. They would be mad, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not to be conformed to them, those that are the rulers, the false rulers of this world. We're the ones that are going to judge them. And even the angels. But the Bible tells us to be that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove to everybody what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12:2. Have you still kept that place?
Yes.
Okay, read that.
And be not conformed to this world.
No, don't be conformed to these weasels out there that are condoning murder and fornication and abortions and bombing people. Jesus never bombed anybody, or has he ever instructed any one of his people to bomb anyone? Has he?
No.
So the whole world is corrupt according to the Word of God. It's the exact opposite of God's Word. And yet these leaders, supposed to be leaders, a lot of them are homosexuals. And they They're corrupt. They're members of the body of Antichrist. So then what does it say?
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, what?
By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Romans 12:2. Well, what does this amount to? Huh? When you add all that up, what does this amount to? That means that we're like sheep among wolves. Amen?
Amen.
But if we will have truth for our guest, if we're going to allow truth to reign in us, which is Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the Word of God, and the Word of God is spirit and life. If we're going to have truth for our guest and be acquainted with the mind and the will of God instead of these reprobates that are running Washington, D.C. by the Vatican telling them what to do, we must prepare our hearts to be holy. We must prepare a holy heart for the truth to lodge in that place, into our mind, into our spirits, our hearts, our souls. Is that what they commonly are taking captive by seducers who were before prisoners to their lusts? Are you a prisoner to your lust? Quote, and they lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with their many lusts, or their divers lusts. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. We have some letters. I'm going to go on with this a little bit later. I'm going to talk about David. David begged God for understanding. And he wanted the Lord to open the word for him. But I'll get into that just a little bit later. Where's the first letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay, Ghana. We have many converted souls there. Have been converting souls there for many years by nothing other than the Word of God. And people are wise enough now to know that this world is crazy and that it's wicked, it's corrupt. You've got this Ricky Martin, he's saying Vida Loca or something. Doesn't that mean a crazy world? Or how do you call that? Vida Loca, that was a big hit because I guess people realize that this is not just crazy. Crazy seems to be a word that they have made into a good thing, you know, be a little bit crazy. Crazy. But you're not going to want to be crazy when you're standing before the judgment bar of God. You're going to wish to God that you were not crazy. All right, read the first one, please.
Dear sir, all the pleasure is mine in writing this letter to you. How is your wonderful ministry?
It's doing very well, sir. We're all over the world now and getting into other places. Many people don't seek the Lord, but those that seek, they'll find. Okay, then what?
I hope you are well by the power of the Almighty. My aim of writing this letter to you is to tell you that the Holy Spirit has filled the book entitled The Messiah, which has changed the lives of people and has changed mine too, and I am very grateful for that. Also, as the Bible says that we should ask and it shall be given unto us, I have decided to ask for some of your newsletters and my own copy of the book entitled The Messiah. Pastor, I want to be generous to those who want to see the light of the Lord by providing them with Bibles, but I do not have any money, so I want you to help me with 5 Bibles and plenty of newsletters, which I will distribute to help the unbelievers to believe in the Lord, so the kingdom of heaven can be expanded, and we will rejoice when we meet there. I also pray that the Almighty Lord grants you His divine power and mercy as you continue to lead His flock to the kingdom of God. My daily prayer is, may God bless you all. Pastor, this is respectfully from your son, who has now accepted Christ. Yours faithfully, A. Prosper, from Kwanta, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, do you have another one?
Yes, it's a witnessing response from Anaheim, California. A born-again Christian man, Charles, from Anaheim, California, called on the 24-hour prayer and witnessing line, asking to have program number 464 sent to him. He said that what Pastor Lama was saying was exactly what he had been relaying in his Sunday school class. He said that he had woken up at 5 a.m. Sunday morning to his radio playing the program 464 with Pastor Lama speaking about his late wife Susan Alamo, and how that she had begun to lose the light of the Lord.
Well, she didn't lose the light of the Lord. She just got fed up with people. And she just closed her eyes. Even though I told her, I said, you're going to die if we don't continue witnessing to people. She knew what the Word said. It's like people can have the Word, but somehow their minds get tangled up. And it really, when people get to the point to where they want to throw in the towel, there really isn't anything that you can say to them. I told Sue, you're going to die. And she said, I don't care, Tony, I just can't take it anymore. These people come into the church, get them saved, we lead them to the Lord, lead them to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We get them new teeth, because the hippies back there in the mid-60s had taken so much drugs that their minds were gone, their teeth fell out, they were sick, they were skinny. All they had to eat was maybe candy bars or a soda pop that they would steal from the supermarkets. But we preached the gospel to them. We got them new clothing. We sent them. We prayed for them. They got healed, and the ones that didn't, we sent them to doctors, hospitals. We had the operations. We're doing that today, but we can't be weary in well doing. And then she says, they say, okay, we got our glasses, our teeth, and we're filled out now, and we've got the Word, and now we want a bus ticket someplace, because we don't want to stay here anymore. That's what Susie got tired of doing. She just got sick of it, the way that people were using us. But the Bible said that people will use us, like the people back in the time of Christ. They used him, but he continued on, even to the death of the cross, all right? And he never murmured about it whatsoever. And we have to continue on if we're going to make it. Now, Susie had the light of the Word of God more than anyone I've ever met in my life. And it's just so strange. But she was eaten up with cancer. And she said, I'm too weak to take it anymore. I just can't. So let's go to Arkansas and we'll build houses, because out here in California, it's already a Catholic or a communist testing state. They test everything out in California to see if the Californians go for it. Those Californians are so far gone now that they're actually trying to change the zone of our property out there. And they forged new maps stating that we don't have the right to have living facilities on one of the properties or on two of the different properties. And so we have the original maps. And so, you know, it's sort of strong. I pray that we don't have to lock horns with them, because we will. We will resist these demonic people if necessary. But Susie, no, it's hard for me to explain what happened there. She just, that's what she told me. And she did die. She said, I don't care. And I said, well, what about me? Don't you care about me? Because she knew so much about the Lord, and I didn't want to lose her. She was precious to me. She said, I just can't help it. Okay, continue on.
So he said he was listening to the part about Susie not wanting to continue witnessing to souls about Christ.
Right, because they were a bunch of hippies, and we get them off of drugs and everything. Go ahead.
And he said he was really understanding this and wants to rehear this informative message.
He wants to rehear it?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yes, he understands it because probably many times, I know that many times, millions and hundreds of millions of people have wanted to throw in the towel. Okay, because it's, you're supposed to carry the cross, deny ourselves, and just keep witnessing and testifying. And like the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, witness to everybody, tell them what I'm telling you to tell them, and if they won't listen to you, they're going to burn. And if they do, whether they listen to you or not, you're going to get the same credit for witnessing and testifying to people, whether they get on buses and use up your money. And I kept telling her, don't worry about the money. It's the Lord that sends it in, okay? Amen. And if we go ahead and buy them stuff, like we do, God's going to send it right back in anyway. So don't worry about the, don't sweat the small stuff. The Lord sends in money. For those that are, because the money goes for the people. I mean, we've spent millions upon millions of dollars, and we didn't have it, really. But money, we work for our money. We don't get any government aid. I'm sure everybody must know that, because I'm anti the Antichrist government. I'm anti the Antichrist government, and the Antichrist government is anti me. And we've always been against the cruel and inhuman way that they treat people. But if we treat people right, then God is our defense. And so if people want to throw in the towel, there's no profit in that. That's the same thing as if you get in a storm on the sea and you're on a ship, you say, I got to get off this ship, and you jump into the water. What good is that? I mean, you know, I just don't understand that. Anyone's ridiculously stupid thinking, because the more we do for people, as so long as the Lord's telling me to do it, and they all walk away, like the Apostle Paul said, everyone had forsaken him. And well, he just kept going, though. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the way you must be if you want to be in the kingdom of heaven. If you're not, you will not be there. Because he said, those that continue to the end, only those that continue to the end shall be saved. Right?
Amen.
Now, I saw Susie repenting on her deathbed. She was tearing at her chest, her skin. She was ripping it off. She had long fingernails. And she had a look of horror on her face. And it was like she couldn't even talk. She couldn't talk. And I could tell she just kept pleading with the Lord. I could see the anguish on her face. And then finally she repented at the end, but she really had a tough time of it. I mean, she made it she made it by the skin of her teeth, because she really was fighting. It was like wrestling with God. And then for the longest time she was like, put her head up, and she had her mouth wide open, and her eyes were just bugging out. Like she was seeing something, like a motion picture or something that was horrible to her. And she just kept looking at it with her mouth gaping wide open. And it was like she was totally in another world. And I knew that there wouldn't be any point in me saying anything to her about it. And you people that think you can get into the kingdom of heaven by not doing anything for the Lord, you've got these false prophets that saying Jesus did it all. But the Bible plainly states that if you have faith, show it by doing the works that the Lord, he wants to use your body as a temple. He wants to use your body as an instrument. He wants to live his life out in you. And I know that the Lord would never stop winning souls. And I told Susie that. And finally she just told me, "Stop it, Tony. I don't want to hear any more of it. I just don't want to." I said, "Well, then I'm going to." She said, "Please don't. Not until I'm dead." Well, she wasn't dead when she was in the bed. I sent the troops out with literature all over the country, and we were winning, they said, about 500,000 souls a day, praying them through in rest homes, old folks' homes, places like that, and on the streets as well, where we remain to this very day. Okay, let's continue with his letter.
When I told him of how we would be very glad to send this program out to him, and also of the many more mighty Holy Spirit-filled messages that the Lord has given through you, and that they too were available not only on audio tape and CD, but also in written newsletter which had been sent around the entire globe, he said he wants to begin receiving these materials so that he can learn how to have a closer walk with the Lord and study deeper in the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Lord told me to write up the supernatural experiences that I've had. And I have written quite a few, but there's some of them that I haven't, because I really want to check with the Lord before I tell him. There's things that I hadn't even understood until just recently. And now I know, and so I'll be writing some more. But I've had many supernatural experiences with the Lord, visions, definitely dreams, visions, and signs and wonders. I haven't had visions for quite a while, or any godly dreams, but the Lord talks to me during the day, all day long. All right, what else?
That was it.
Okay, that's it. Now, we're going to talk about some of the Psalms now. When the psalmist David would beg for understanding from the Lord, and we can read that he did in the Word, he makes his purpose, the reason that he wanted understanding, the purpose was that why he wanted it, was to live a holy life. People that don't want to have the wisdom and understanding of the Lord don't want to live a holy life. What they have is Satan is talking to them all day long and all night long. And when they something happens that is not according to their will, or it makes them uncomfortable, they have to go through a little bit of cross-carrying, well, then they begin sinning. And the Lord will try people, put them to the fire, test them, not tempt them, because he won't tempt anybody, but he'll test you by removing himself from you for a while to see if you're going to be a holy person before. Now, David wanted understanding so that from the Lord, so from his word, we can read that, and he makes it's his purpose so that he could have a holy life. The argument with which he urges God is this. He says to the Lord, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." And the reason for it is this: if you do, then I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. That's why he wants to know it, know all these things from the Lord, is to be able to live a holy life. And if you want to live a holy life, well, then you're going to want understanding, because if you don't have understanding, then you have no purpose, you're not praying for it. And if you just say, "Well, why should I be holy?" The reason, and why should I have understanding and wisdom? To live a holy life, friends. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that?
Yes.
"And I will keep your law. Yes, I shall observe it with my entire heart, with my whole heart. Psalms 119, 33, and 34. Just really quickly get to that scripture. Psalms 119, so people will know that I'm not making this up. 119, 33, and 34.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes.
Why? Why?
And I shall keep it unto the end.
So he can live a holy life. Amen?
Amen.
You understand now?
Yes.
Okay. You don't want to live a holy life? Well, then you're not going to beg God to give you understanding to live a holy life. Because, you know, if you don't live a holy life, you're not going to be in heaven. And he wanted to be in heaven. Amen? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be in heaven? Then ask the Lord to give you understanding and wisdom and seek the word of God so that you can have it. Then what?
Give me understanding and I shall...
What for? Give me understanding. What's his purpose? And I shall what?
I shall keep thy law.
Teach me what the law is. I don't want to say the law is over with, like the heretics say, because it isn't. The Lord said, I didn't come to do away with the law or to destroy it. I came here to fulfill it, to show people that the power of God is in you, the Holy Spirit, that you'll be able to keep the law. Because you can't live a holy life unless you have the understanding and wisdom and desire. You don't have the purpose in you to want to live a holy life. And that's why the entire world is lawless now. And that's why everything is crazy. And that's why the people are mad. And that's why people are corrupt. That's why there's so many people dying of AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea, and a multitude of other diseases that God is whipping on people because they don't care anything about the understanding, the high and holy understanding. To live a holy life, they don't want to live a holy life. They don't realize that if they pray to God, that God will give them the power to be able to live a holy life. Okay, now what else is, then what?
Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart.
That's the purpose. He wants to observe. He's not asking God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding just to get it and then walk around acting like a smart aleck. He wants it to live a holy life so that he can observe what he learns from the Lord with his whole heart. Psalms 119, 33, and 34. So then there's another direction. The second one. Don't make your own reasoning. Don't make up what you want the Bible to say. Or don't make up your own reason. The rule by which you measure Scripture. Listen to the people in the Bible, the holy people that say, you have a purpose? You have a purpose, huh? You have your own reason for wanting to know wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? To hell with your reason. Amen?
Amen.
Use David's reason because it's the Holy Spirit talking right through him. Amen?
Amen.
Why? So that you can live a holy life. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that really important?
Amen.
So don't make your own reason in the Bible, or your own rule by which you measure Scripture, truths. Is that fit to try the revelations of the Word, which has so many secrets in nature? Do you think it's right, in other words, to try revelations of the Word with your own reasoning? Because the Word has so many secrets in nature that you must seek the Lord to uncover these secrets so that you can live a holy life. Amen?
Amen.
You understand? Does not the Word reveal such things to us as are not only above our own thinking? If we pray to the Lord, right?
Amen.
We learn it by the Holy Spirit. So the Word reveals many things to us that are not only that are not available by our own thinking, by our own sense, okay? Because we really, our sense is nonsense. The Lord's word is sense. Amen?
Amen.
S-E-N-S-E. Because no human eye has ever seen them, nor there isn't any human ear that has ever heard them. But also, above the question, there's a quiescence. The quiescence of reason being such as never, no one ever knew these things. They asked Jesus, they asked one another, who has taught this man these words? They're not words that we have any reason to know what they are. We never knew these things before. Nobody in the world knew them. Amen?
Amen.
So, reason being such as never, quote, entered into the heart of man. The words of God and the secret things of the Word of God have never entered the heart of man. By themselves, we have to study the Word to find out true understanding and true wisdom. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9.
But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Yeah, for them that love him. We mean love him, those that seek him. Amen?
Amen.
Those that beg for understanding. Why do they seek the Lord? Huh? You know? So that they can live a holy life. Because without holiness, no man shall see God. And I asked the people here, and they had their mouth hanging open. I just taught it to them, and you as well. Hopefully your mouth wasn't open as well. Yes, indeed, the whole system of gospel truths speaks in a foreign and outlandish tongue to our reason. It just don't make any sense at all to human nature, does it?
No.
Isn't that what the Bible says?
Amen.
It says that that the carnal man cannot understand spiritual things, right?
Right.
So the whole system of the gospel truths, God wrote it in a way that when people are carnal, they can't understand it. Only after you're saved, you can learn enough scriptures to where you can get saved if you want to. But the entire, the whole system of the gospel truths actually is like you're hearing a foreign language. You just can't, it can't soak in. And it's outlandish. It's like an outlandish tongue to our reasoning. Amen?
Amen.
Why? When God tells you, he told me one time, I mean so many times he's told me things, it just didn't make sense if I was a carnal person. He said, go into this park over there, raise your hand up and say, I'm a born-again Jew, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you the truth, that whole park, everybody's just lounging around, sitting on benches, and a bunch of Jewish people came rushing towards me, and myself, Susie and myself, and was saying, you're not a Jew. You're not a Jew. I said, well, my name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman, but my voice is so low that they couldn't even hear me. So I picked Susie up by the waist and set her in front of me, and she said, Mach Schwag Mashik. That means, shut up, you nuts. And this is the way that we can talk to Jews. We Jews know we can talk to Jews that way. And they said, Mach Schwag Mashik. I mean, they said, shut up, you nuts. And they started listening to her, and she, the Holy Spirit was on her, and she wrote out a message that right now I got goose pimples all over me thinking about it, because people got saved. And there was a man running towards her. He had like a crew cut. He was pretty tall. And he looked like he was about 55 years old. And he was running from a distance. And the Lord told me he's up to no good. So I pointed my finger at him and I said, "The blood of Jesus is at you." And whether you believe it or not, there was like a fireball that came right out of my pointing, and it hit him in the face. And he immediately, when it hit, I could tell it hit because he turned around real fast and went the other direction. Now that's the supernatural, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense, you know, when the Lord tells you to do something. Or stand by the Red Sea and put your staff in the water. Or if you're going to cross Jordan, put your staff, your mantle, into the water, and it's going to open up and stand in heaps. Oh, you don't believe that? Well, it's because you don't have faith. Amen?
Amen.
And it wasn't something that Moses made up. It was a commandment from the Lord. The Lord was the one that told him to do that. And it looks kind of crazy to people when you're around. Just like when I was in the office. It was a business office about a singer that I was doing a promotion for. And I had a bunch of people with me, my attorney, his wife, six L.A. cops, motorcycle police, and an entourage of 17 people. And the Lord told me to stand up in that room and tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And this happened 43 years ago, folks. And here I am. Immediately, I didn't want to do any more worldly work. At that time, I did not. I just wanted to find out what the Lord wanted me to do. And I couldn't understand it at first. I was arguing back and forth with the Lord. And then he started pulling the breath in and out of me and scaring me. Yeah, put a lot of fear on me. And I said, "I'll do it." I couldn't understand it. Didn't make any kind of sense to me. The whole system of the gospel truths speaks in a foreign and outlandish tongue to our reasoning. Amen?
Amen.
It can make no sense to anyone except faith in us be the interpreter. Amen? Because we know how the Lord is dealing with us. Amen?
Amen?
I knew that the Lord was talking to me. Nobody else in the room knew it, but I knew it. Amen?
Amen?
So it was faith that God put in my heart that made me to know that this is something I got to do. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so that faith made a lot of sense to me. You know, when you've got faith, faith makes more sense to anything in this world. I look at this world, what they're doing, and it doesn't make any sense to me at all. And a lot of people say it doesn't make any sense, but they don't know what to do. And the Lord sent me here in this world to tell you what to do. So scriptures, faith scriptures, are like the Red Sea, which the Israelites, by faith, passed through the Red Sea safely on dry land. Amen?
Amen.
But the Egyptians, the carnal Egyptians, attempting to do the same thing, they attempting to do it for want of that guide, that faith, they were drowned. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what the whole world that has no faith, and they don't seek faith or wisdom or understanding so that they can live a godly life, so they can live a faith life. See, we can't receive anything from the Lord other than by faith. He said it's impossible to please the Lord without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to believe the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So a humble believer passes through the deep mysteries of the Word safely without plunging into any dangerous mistakes. Whereas those sons of pride, the carnal people who leave faith, like the great falling away from the Lord in these last days, they leave faith and take their own carnal reason for their guide. We see how they are drowned in many damnable errors. Heresy. Amen.
Amen.
all these different isms, plagueism, socialism, communism, Catholicism, all these isms, and whatever, there's so many of them, Buddhism, whatever, the most dangerous errors fathered upon the scriptures has sprung from this womb. So dangerous errors are hatched right out of Satan's womb. Now everybody thinks he's a man, but I'm going to call him a woman, okay? Or a morphodite. This was the Sadducees' ground on which they went for their denying the resurrection of the dead. Well, they were carnal. They had no faith. And therefore, if you don't believe the Word of God, there's no way that you're going to resurrect at the end. And so we have to study the Word of God and to learn of the Lord and pray to the Lord for understanding and wisdom, the fear of the Lord, so that we will get it by seeking the Lord, so that we are able to live a holy life. Amen?
Amen.
They owned the book of Moses. They owned the Bible so that they could read the Word of God just like you and I. And yet, they denied the very resurrection of what the entire Bible is about. Well, my time is up. I really have a strong rest of this message, and we'll take this up mañana, tomorrow. Okay, folks? All right, right now, those of you that don't know the Lord, say this prayer. Say it right now. Say to Him, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus. I believe that You raised Jesus, Father, from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your Word says so. I study the Word so I can live a holy life. So I can be holy. So I know that without holiness, I can't be in heaven. I know You've heard me. I know You've answered me. And I know that I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And now just praise and thank the Lord. And share and tell them how they can receive a copy of the CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for some more of this wisdom and understanding from the Lord so that you can live a holy life. Right now, I'm going to sing a song for you here. It's called "You Are Your Brother's Keeper." We have to learn and understand the Word of God so that we can help the lost souls in this world, and to help our brothers and sisters. You are your brother's keeper.
Last night I had the strangest dream. A dream that seemed so real. A mighty force had carried me, back to this ancient field. And then a voice came to me, saying, "Be not filled with fear. Bear witness to the things you see, and everything that you hear." I saw Cain kill his brother in the garden, and I heard the Lord ask Cain where Abel was. I do not know, am I my brother's keeper? He was punished then for spilling Abel's blood. Then I heard the Lord tell Noah, before the sky turned dark, everyone but you and your shall pass away. I see all my children sinning, and it grieves me in my heart, that I watched as God and Noah built the ark. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was, yes he was. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was. God saw his children sinning, and it grieved him in his heart. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was. I saw Samson single-handed stop 1,000 evil men, and Joshua fight the battle at Jericho. I saw David stop Goliath and then become a king. They were their brother's keeper, don't you know? You are your brother's keeper, yes you are, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are. God sees his children sinning, and it grieves him in his heart. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are. God sees his children sinning, and it hurts him in his heart. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are.